Hello and welcome to the Transmedia Podcast. This is me, Robert Pratton from Conductor, and you can find me online as Rob Pratton on Twitter. And with me today, I've got Tim and Lex from Flavour, and I stumbled across this really interesting, what looked to me, because I don't speak Dutch, it looked to me like a like island survival kind of game, but it turns out it's part of a recruitment process. So I'm going to hand over to Tim and Lex to introduce themselves and then tell us a little bit about the game. So Tim and Lex, nice to connect with you.
Yeah, nice to connect to you, Robert. Thanks.
So please introduce yourselves and tell us what you did on the project.
All right, we will. My name's Tim Merck. I started a company called Spector 7 years ago. And half a year ago, that company merged with Flavour. Flavour is a gamification company. And at Flavour, I work as a CPO, meaning Chief Product Officer. So slowly shifting from projects to products. Mm-hmm. And one of the first products I was able to deliver was Grimberg Island, together with Lex. Lex is the lead designer here. Let him introduce himself.
Yeah, so my name is Lex. I've worked at Flavour for almost 10 years now. Sort of grew up with the company. And on the Grimberg Island project, I did the lead game design and lead art, actually. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
So tell us about the tell us generally about the game, what it's for and what people have to do.
Well, the question was asked by a recruiter, Grimberg Nielsen. And everybody know the list you have to fill in when you are in a hiring process, a list where you have to address your soft skills and the most we asked the recruiter, what's the question that you asked the most, or the what do you prefer to ask? And then the answer was, imagine you're on an island and there's nobody there. What would you do? And then Lex thought, all right, let's build the island and don't ask the questions, but put them in a situation and let them answer on that situations.
Brilliant. Is that really their question? Imagine you're on an island. Yeah, I'm not at work at the moment, though.
No, it's in the recruiting world, it's a bit of a cliche, I guess. The question, imagine you're on an island. what are you doing? Yeah.
So I mentioned before that I don't speak Dutch, but I saw in LinkedIn that you'd created this game, and I downloaded it onto the iPad and played it through, and it was really engaging. I mean, it was, it really sort of drew me in from the beginning. And you kind of start on an airline, on a plane, sorry, and then you get used to the controls, and then you kind of dumped, you know, crashes onto this island, and then because I didn't know which answer to make, because it was Dutch to me. I just randomly clicking the buttons, and I accidentally shot someone. I think I scared off a stewardess with a knife. I don't know if that was my intention. Great. And some of the puzzles I was able to solve. So tell people about the user journey through the story, through the narrative and the different challenges. Because the puzzles, some of the puzzles I was able to do without explanation, and some of them, even with explanation, I found quite challenging.
Well, sort of what we try to do is when we develop the game is sort of, you want people to give an honest answer and not sort of the answer they think you want to hear.
Yeah.
So it's really good to hear that you sort of lost yourself within the experience, even if you didn't quite understand anything or could make out what the characters were saying, because that's sort of what we try to do. We try to give the player an immersive experience so they sort of forget their in sort of this this hiring process. And so we want to have them make the honest answer. So what would you do in the situation when you sort of get confronted with dropping out of the air onto an island and need to sort of find a way off? So we really try to sort of get people to lose themselves within the story.
And all the questions we ask and all the answers are like a little bit based on a BSP model. It's a model the recruiter Grimberg Nielsen works with, and it's about if you are a social person, and if you are a positive social or negative social, or you're a power player. And so all the answers you make are connected with the model. So in the end, we can have a rough view on your intuitive response on the situations and thereby your place in the whole model. And it's used for starter. So if you are having a conversation with a potential hire, then a recruiter can start with the data collected by playing the game.
So they'll say to you, "Oh, I noticed that you shot the guy with in the radio tower. What was that about?"
So of course this is the metaphor. and underneath the metaphor is a bit more just like social regular behavior.
Yeah.
Like are you the one that's solving the problem yourself? Are you the one that's solving the problem together with a team? Are you feeling responsible for what you do, or are you trying to give somebody else the responsibilities? So all these like more detailed differences between choices are hidden in very big, dramatical, metaphoric situations.
I mean, that's really. I totally agree that this is the. This is the right approach to put people in the situation so that they act out this sort of role rather than asking them, what would you do? Because if you ask someone, what would you do? Well, it's very easy to come up with an answer that you think someone wants. But if you're immersed in the game and you have to react or you have to sort of find a solution, you're going to do which is what you would do in real life more likely. So how did you find the balance between, let's say, the puzzle solving things? Like the puzzle solving, is that looking at different types of skills compared to the more sort of social decisions that I make with the other characters?
Yeah. So the model, the BSP model, it sort of has two outs, which is if you're in a positive vibe, sort of, or in a negative vibe, the way you learn gets affected. So while recruiting, they also always do sort of a small IQ. Is that the right word?
Yeah, IQ test. Yeah.
And so what we try to do is we try to incorporate these small puzzles, which get sort of checked for the time in which you answer and if you get the correct answer or the wrong answer, to sort of get a really fairly basic IQ test also across. So the BSP model does not only measure your personality, but it also sort of measures your IQ. So that's what we try to do with the little puzzles. And it sort of gets across a basic understanding of if you're a pragmatic solver or a more active solver, which is also used when recruiting for certain jobs.
That's really good. And like, how was the project launched? Is this something that's ongoingly available or is there like a campaign to promote it?
No, it's ongoing. So maybe it's good to explain you a little bit about the process, because it's also making the proposition a little bit more clear, I guess. Mm-hmm. So this is really something we developed together with Greenberg Nielsen, where we first started with their company, their employees, who of course have a lot of knowledge about which kind of questions you ask at which specific moments, but also which kind of hires or players, in our case, are you confronted with. So we started with doing a creative process where we gave them like 10 different games and asked them, what do you think is the most interesting way to connect with your clients?
Right.
The potential hires. And based on the input we had, we developed this game. And we now have it, and we are searching for ways to develop it to a second version. And one of the things we found out is that Greenberg Nielsen is not only using it for new hires, new employees, but companies want to use it for their existing employees to see, as a starter for a conversation. So it's like, play this game, we have some data on your behavior, and we use that for being a starter of a training module or a consulting phase. So it's not a campaign. It's not about hiring people right now for the following weeks. Right. It's really a tool that can be used by recruiting agencies and companies.
And what sort of what does the information look like that the client gets? Is it like a quality? Is it the starter for a conversation, like a qualitative assessment, or are there like passes and fails, like do not hire this person? Why is this person working for us? That type of thing.
Again, last question.
I wonder if the information that goes back to the client about the candidate or the employee that's played through it.
Yeah.
How does that information look to them? Is there a pass or fail? Does it tell them that they've got these capabilities, or is there, if it was an employee, would they say, why is this person working for us?
Okay, so that's a good thing. Well, one thing that's interesting, I guess, is that the data is becoming more smarter when more people play it. So when thousands of people would have played the game, at some point you can forecast a little bit based on the results. So you can say, well, if everybody in a team is mainly a power player, as someone that's really proactive in finding solutions, then maybe your team is affecting the quality of the efficiency or the results of your team.
Yes.
So, Lex, because this is really something that Lex is going to.
So we go back to the BSP model, which is sort of the basis of all the decisions that you are making. And so that, like Tim said, it divides people in power players or social players. Mm-hmm. And there's also the B, which stands for brain, which is sort of the IQ portion. So when you play the game, a client would sort of get a player would get a score on each of those three values. So scored 0 to 100 on B, on S, and on P. So if you're never just a power player or just a social player, so there's always some lenience between the two values. So if you would get sort of a higher value on the power play, that would possibly mean that you are a power person. And like Tim said, you get the job done and you really sort of put your foot down and make stuff work like that. So once you have played the game, you get a score on each of those three categories. And a client can tell, put those scores next to the BSP model, can tell which are your pitfalls and which are your strong suits. And so on that basis, they can sort of evaluate, like Tim said, if your team is all power players, well, then it might be beneficiary to put in some social people to sort of get the ball rolling every now and then, instead of everybody having really strong opinions against one another. So that's sort of the data that's driven from the game and which can be used to evaluate a person or a team.
Yeah, and next to that, it's also like, Robert, you just played a game. Imagine that we would have a conversation now, and I would tell you, well, Robert, I don't know you. You're new to me. Nice to meet you. In the results of this game, I see this happening. Do you recognize this, or do you really think that you have those results because you were playing a game? Or why did you choose for this behavior playing the game, knowing that we would have this conversation? So there are more angles for a recruiter or an HR employee to use the information to start a conversation with the player.
No, it's really good. I think it's really good. So how did you? So tell me a little bit about the because I understand you've got this hero-centered design process. Explain for me how that works.
Well, okay, I will. 6 months ago, when I first started my first day here at the Flavor office, my company before was really focused on transmedia storytelling. We also once we spoke about it, Robert. We had a product called Freshers, We were already once in your podcast.
Yes.
And now it's the second time.
It's good to invite you back, Tim.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Thanks to be welcome again. So I was really working with storytelling, and then so using all the power of the narrative, all the laws of the narrative we as a humankind have been working on since the Greeks or probably sometime before that, Sumerians, and well, let's not go that way. But of course, the strongest structure, I guess, in storytelling is the hero-centered design, the hero journey, because it's all about making the big difference. Every story starts with a problem. In some way, the problem has to be solved, and there's a new solution. We as people want to hear those stories because we want to learn. And we want to live. So this is how we're built. So when I came here, the question was, how am I going to relate my knowledge to the knowledge the people here have about gamification, which is really specific about game mechanics. And it's really based on like hormones. It's almost
psychology. Yeah
because it's what happens if you put someone under pressure with a timer, and what happens if you give a small ballooning and
reward,
a small reward or a big reward. And so I learned a lot, and then at some point we said, okay, there's no difference between a story and a game. The only difference is the perspective, because a game is a story played by players and you're looking at it. It's your perspective of the audience. It's a game played by others, arranged by Shakespeare or whoever. And a game is a story that you're in. You're part of the story. It's funny that I'm explaining this to you.
Well,
you explain it to me sometimes in all your stories. But the interesting thing is that in both worlds, the character who has the biggest impact on his environment, on his context, or the context, or his world, is the hero. The hero is capable of solving the biggest problems. At some point, me and Jain, he's creative director of Flavor, we said, well, if we completely design our design process with the goal to create problem-solving heroes, and then we combine the best of storytelling and gamification without constantly having to explain to people that it's the same thing, but from another perspective. And so what we do, we have like this hero onboard game, we call it. We play it with everybody that want to work with us. you start with 2.5 hours during game. And then we really ask them, what is your problem? Is this some kind of a social problem? Is there a hero? What are his motives? Motivations? Yeah, motives. Motives. Yeah. And what are all the obstacles that the hero will come across when he is solving the problem? And based on that knowledge, we work with you or not, and we know what. Yeah, for us it's a briefing, like how we're gonna help the hero to solve all the problems. And in that story, who is the friend, for instance, and who is the mentor? And it's really, I think, it's a metaphor for innovation. You know, a hero is doing an innovation process. He's changing a situation from good to better, or from bad to good, or whatever. But it's also always about innovating. So this is why we called it the hero-centered design process. And we said, this is who we are now.
That's good. I think it's great. And when you sit down with a client, do they get it? Because in the recruiting world, I don't think we should assume that they're familiar with stories. Candy Crush, maybe. I can imagine they play games. But so how do you sort of convert what is, you know, a creative design process intended to, you know, deliver on client goals into a sort of a way that the client says, you know what, you totally understand what I'm talking about, and this will deliver what I'm asking for?
Well, my first question is often, did you see Lord of the Rings? Or did you read the book?
That's part of the psychological assessment. We walked out in Lord of the Rings. It was like, it's so dull. And then we were like, all right, yeah, that's a pass off foul right there.
Yeah, so it's really simple. There's a guy living in a world. He has a lot of reasons not to start, because he thinks, I'm small. Who am I? What am I doing?
Yeah.
And there are no dark clouds yet here. I like it here in the, what's it called? The world?
Shire.
The Shire.
The Shire, yeah.
And in the end, he's the one that really solves the problem. And then the funny thing is that all clients recognize that situation, because in the story, they are often the mentor. Like, they are Gandalf. they see the problems coming, and they need you to solve it. So a client always needs the end user. Sometimes it's the employee, sometimes it's the customer. So it doesn't matter who it is. He needs the end user to solve a problem. So it's his Frodo.
Yeah.
So then we explain to them, if you wanna let your Frodo, your hero, solve your problem, then you first have to connect with his situation. So the first question is, like, in a hero's journey, you have the very famous refuse of the call. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Every hero is having starting problems. Sometimes it's an alcoholic detective, and sometimes it's an insecure Frodo. But there's always a refusal of the call. We, as an audience, we needed to connect with the hero. So then I asked them the question, what do you think is the reason for your end user, your possible hero, not to start the adventure? And that's a very easy way to let them instantly connect to the metaphor, because of course it's a metaphor for them, the hero's journey. And then they say, well, my end user, for instance, an employee just has to learn something. Or in the case of Greenberg Island, maybe to be more specific towards the subject, then the question is, yeah, why should an possible hire be honest in a hiring process? Because he just want to be hired.
Yeah.
So if you want to change that, so you have to in some way explain it. Or go around it. So for us, this is a brilliant briefing, and for a client, it's a very fun way to look at the problem in a very how you say that handbaar, hanteerbaar. It's nice. We're going to speak Dutch a little bit.
We have a bite-sized chunks, audience.
I guess.
Yeah.
To look at the problem in bite-sized chunks. Yeah.
Everybody wants to understand his part in the story, because it's all difficult to explain to yourself, your manager, your employees, what your problem is. So the power of storytelling, and thereby gamification, is then very easily explained.
Okay. I'm impressed that in Dutch you've got one word that means bite-sized chunks. so much more efficient.
Yeah, right.
We do the same here. We said, like, because most of the team speak Spanish, so we said, like, when there's a shorter word in Spanish, we'll use that. So Lex, how did maybe it's one for you, Tim, how did you decide how long the game needed to be? Was it imperative that it was kind of short, or if I'd made other choices, would the game have been longer for me?
This is a question for Lex.
Well, it's interesting, because we started out with something sort of epic, but I think the shorter amount of time, especially the kind of people that Greenberg Nielsen recruits, they're sort of the financial controllers and financial people. They just don't. They also don't have a lot of time on their hands. So but to give an experience that everybody would sort of be able to play and could easily finish. And we found sort of that it should have taken about 20, 25 minutes, I guess, to finish the game. And maybe if you didn't read everything, but just click through the game, could have been a little bit faster. But we sort of found that the exact right time to keep people sort of interested in the thing and wanting to know more. And it's sort of the, Yeah, it's a sort of a short movie, actually, sort of. So you get the build up, you get the problem. Oh, there's something. It's just enough time to sort of keep them really invested and sort of on the edge of not thinking about how they are answering the questions.
Yeah, okay. And I did get the feeling of the, you know, the three acts, basically. You know, like, I definitely felt that, the resolution at the end. And then I woke up and it was all a dream. And I was like, what?
Yeah. You know, and that is sort of kind of, it's a little bit cheesy, I guess. But it's also the metaphor that we were trying to get. The whole island is sort of a metaphor for your own personality, I guess. And
yeah,
that's sort of a really fun mirror to put up. So how are you reacting in these situations? That's sort of the entire metaphor. The island is sort of in your head, actually.
Yeah, we used very strong narrative concepts or ideas, and it has a lot of story and game cliches, but we had to connect with an audience that's totally not used to playing this kind of games in a very short time, of course.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say cliche. It was more like a trope or something. Like that. But that's important, though, so that people don't have to explain what they're doing. They get into it quickly. They're familiar with what's expected of them. It totally works.
And this is of course the big value of a cliche. Cliche is beautiful. A cliche. Yeah, it's like shared knowledge. Cliché is you say something and then it's so strong what you say that without telling the whole story, everybody know directly what you're talking about. I love clichés.
That's really good. So I've got one last question on the design process, and then we can sort of wrap up the call. And that is, like, when you're in the design process and it comes time to show something to the client, when is it that, like, how do you involve the client in the process, and how do you avoid sort of keep going back over stuff? Because some clients, you know, they have their own idea about how things should work without any sort of gaming experience or storytelling experience. And so there's often this tension between wanting to produce the experience that you think will produce the best results and what the client thinks they need. Like, for example, they could have turned around and said, oh, what I need in the middle of this is someone to write an essay about, you know, or, you know, it's something like ridiculous like this that sometimes people ask for.
Yeah, but they are really part of the team. So from the start, we are really co-developing, co-creating. So we work, of course, with sprints and agile, and they are part of the team. And together we go to the real client, that's the end user in this case, and we constantly test our shared ideas. And based on the results, we make choices together. So there wasn't really, and maybe that's also one of the things that's a big win on our strategy, but also on the specific client or partner, in this case, Greenberg Nielsen. We really worked together. Yeah,
very good. And what was the how long was that whole process from, like, the beginning to it being ready to actually go live?
I guess six months.
Yeah, something like that. 6 months. Yeah,
three months doing all the creative things, and I mean concept and script, and 3 months for really developing.
Yeah.
Everything is developed in Unity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's good.
We have to translate it now, of course, to English and Spanish and French and so. But everybody can play it. It's out there. That's really something that's nice. Everybody can play and see. It's now in Dutch, of course, but it will.
But it's worth looking. Yeah, I mean, I played in Dutch and I still found it very engaging. So I think you know, we'll have the link on the podcast notes, and we'll sort of tweet it out for people to check it out, because I think that it is it's just really nice, and it's interesting to see how things can be done differently.
Okay, thanks. I hope so. Yeah, for now it's just for people that are curious, and if they're interested, of course, we hope to deliver a multiple language version soon.
all of our podcast listeners are curious. So they're at the cutting edge. So they're all out there waiting for this podcast to land on their phone or wherever they listen to it. And they will be, you know, after their gym session, if they're listening, they'll go straight and down, you know, check out the app. So guys, what's next for you? So have you got other games or experiences in the pipeline? Or
yeah, we've got a lot of them. We are working, I think, on 7 different products. And the thing that we're working on now, maybe with the most passion, because it's new, Robert. it's a new way of implementing e-learning in companies. So all the old LMSs, the learning systems, are really based on you as an employee. You have to learn something, and you do that using your computer. And we got a question from a big building company in our country to make it more fun, to make it fun.
Yeah.
So we said, you know what, let's start with creating a learning culture. So not only reward somebody for learning something, but also learning something to somebody else in your organization. So we really... Yeah, we're really working very hard on that now to
to make people enthusiastic
about sharing knowledge within a company.
Yeah,
and that's a very interesting process, and I think will be a very successful product. So we're passionate about it.
Yeah.
So is that the end of the LMS? Will we see the death of the LMS?
Well, I hope so, yeah.
Because I hope so.
LMS is really 1980, man.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, yeah.
It's hanging on like bad CDs. They're still like there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's the most boring version of a quiz.
Exactly.
Yeah, cannot see it. Yeah, that's it. So we are really trying to solve the problem, because the problem is, of course, and you of course know that too, there's always a balance between content heavy solutions and like really generic solutions that can be scalable and used by everybody, and thereby also healthy business propositions. So there are a lot of very cool e-learning solutions, but they are very specific. Serious gaming, for instance, and there are a lot of very boring LMSs, but they are, you can translate that to big markets and big so now the question is how can we combine those two elements, make it the quality of the content enough and specific enough, and at the same time, as generic, so that it's scalable and used by different companies. Yeah.
Brilliant. Guys, thank you very much. It's been fascinating. And where can people find you online?
Well, we are very LinkedIn focused. So my name is Tim Merck, and you can find me on LinkedIn. And Lex, I think the same.
Yep, Lex van den Berg.
At LinkedIn.
And LinkedIn.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening. This podcast was made possible by Team XP, Conductor's solution for crisis management and other leadership development, training and recruitment. You can find us by just Googling Team XP.